Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in Matthew, Despicable Me. The title of the message is Despicable Me. I like the movie Despicable Me. I don't know if anybody's seen it. I took my daughter to see the movie, and it was a great movie for us to watch because of the fact that it's about adoption. It's about not being perfect. Sometimes we're in the midst of being yucky or being a certain way, but in family, when you are married, when you have children, it's a matter of acceptance and a matter of love and a matter of loving the person despite their faults, loving the person despite who they are, and loving them even when they change, which that's what happens with the main character. But it's a great movie in that sense. That God, and God's the same way with us too, which is a beautiful thing. I've heard people say things like, my family tree is full of nuts. All the fruit from my family tree fell and died. Or my family tree is full of rotten fruit. Today we will look at a family tree, and all three could be said of this one. We're going to start today, since we're beginning the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 1, verse 1, if you're following along in your Bibles. We're going to go through the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew. There's also one in Luke as well. They both have different significance to them. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The only other place this is like this is in Genesis chapter 5, the generation of Adam and his descendants. So you have the first Adam, then the second Adam is introduced in a genealogy. The son of David, that's his royal line. The son of Abraham, that is his racial line. Between Abraham and David, it is the same genealogy as Luke's. Then after David, it changes. It is there Luke traces Mary's line, and Matthew traces Joseph's line, and the switch to share Jesus. Matthew is sharing Jesus' legal right to the throne through David. Now verses 2 through 3 says, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram. Tamar, a woman in Genesis chapter 38, verses 4 through 5. Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Boaz and Ruth, we read about them a while back. We did the book of Ruth a few books ago. Ruth was a Moabite. She was not a Jew. But God brought a Gentile into the genealogy, which is neat. Now I want you to note something. Matthew is writing in three sets of 14 generations. In his Jewish training. You see, they had young children memorize things to make them easier, and Matthew deliberately wrote the genealogy this way because he was taught that no real Jew except a saved Jew would read this, and he included four women, which was not common too. Now there were other women in the line, but he chose these four. Tamar, Ruth, the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba, and Rahab, all Gentiles, and all despicable in the eyes of a Jew. Jews never included women in a genealogy. Every Pharisee in their daily prayer life would give thanks and say, "Thank God I am not a Gentile, a dog, or a woman." Matthew now writes in four women, but first it's Tamar, who was a Canaanite. She was not of the bloodline. Judah gave his first son to her, which displeased God, and he died. So tradition and culture said that you were to give the next son to her so she could have children. So he did. Then the next son was displeasing to the messianic line. He spilled his seed instead of impregnating her, and then he died. So Judah told her to wait until the last son was old enough, and when he was, he didn't give him to her. So she got clever, and she had the idea to disguise herself as a prostitute and lay on the road, and Judah came along and gave her his family recognition in the form of his staff, and then was with her, and when he returned to get her payment, she was gone. Later on, people came and told Judah Tamar was pregnant, and Judah was infuriated with her, so he went to kill her. And she showed him who the daddy was, so he married her and raised the kid. Now she is included in the genealogy of Jesus. Sounds like a soap opera, huh? Next we have Rahab the harlot, who, if she were in our line, we probably wouldn't want to brag about it. She's in Joshua chapter 2. She's the owner of a brothel, then becomes a believer, and marries into the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Says that Ruth, a Moabite, and Deuteronomy 23:3 says, "No Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even in the 10th generation." She becomes part of the family of God. Then David, in God's grace and mercy, is allowed to become king after only 3 generations. Then we have Bathsheba, which in 2 Samuel chapter 11, who you wouldn't desire to mention either because she's an adulteress. And she's in an adulterous relationship with King David. So that's another person you wouldn't want in the line. No one would put these women in a genealogy. But Matthew understood Jesus came to associate with sinners and with us, especially tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners. Matthew wants us to know, whatever your background is and how terrible you are, look at the people in his genealogy. Jesus came to save them and you, even with the terrible things you do. Jesus associated himself with us, and we, as the Bible says, our goodness compared to him is like dirty, filthy, disgusting rags you wouldn't want to touch. Yet Jesus wanted to lay his hand on and heal lepers, prostitutes, tax collectors, and even some people we would never want to touch, and give them a healing. Jesus loves them all and desires to heal them. Now we get to the genealogy that will take us to the legal father of Jesus, though he's the only stepfather of him, which would give him the legal throne to David. 6-7 says, "And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife," that's Bathsheba. "Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa." Conventional Bible chronology dates the start of Rehoboam's reign to about the mid-10th century BC. His reign is described in 1 Kings 12, 14, 21 through 31, and in 2 Chronicles 10 through 12. In the Hebrew Bible, Rehoboam was 41 years old when he ascended to the throne. Abijah is in 1 Kings 15. He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 8, Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram, Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Asa, 1 Kings 15, did right in the eyes of the Lord. Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahab, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, gotta love Hezekiah, he was a great king. He was given 15 extra years to live because he did not have any children. And he had a son by the name of Manasseh. I was in Israel. I was in Hezekiah's tunnel in Israel. And Hezekiah had it dug so they could get water during a battle where the gates of Jerusalem were closed and they needed to sneak down to get the water. Verse 10. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Ammon, Ammon, the father of Josiah. Josiah, one of my favorite people in the Bible. Manasseh was not a person you wanted to have in your family tree. He was told by God that because of all his individual wickedness, that they would become slaves and be taken into exile. A few years before his death, he did turn to the Lord, and I think his grandson Josiah saw it, and it made an impact on him. He was the most wicked person ever seen. Manasseh cried out to God, and he was being taken away to Babylon. Even though he slaughtered his own sons, had a disgusting immoral worship with Molech, he sacrificed babies. In his life, he repented. He turned away from those things, and he was restored to Jerusalem and reigned there the end of his days. I think Matthew loved digging into the past genealogy and showing us we can be saved no matter what disgusting stuff we did. Josiah, for 8 years of his life, from age 8 to 16, all he did was draw close to the Lord. He brought revival back to the land. It shows even a child can be used of God to do great and mighty things for him. Revival was brought, but God even told Josiah that there would be peace for a while, but because of Manasseh, it would all eventually fall apart. Verse 11, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 24 through 30 says, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, even if you, Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were a signet ring on my right hand, I would still pull you off. I will deliver you into the hands of those who want to kill you, those who fear you, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the Babylonians. I will hurl you and the mother who gave you birth into another country where neither of you was born, and there you will both die. You will never come back to the land you long to return to. Is this man Jehoiakim a despised broken pot, an object no one wants? Why will he and his children be hurled out, cast into a land they do not know? O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Record this man as if childless, a man who will not prosper in his lifetime, for none of his offspring will prosper. None will sit on the throne of David or rule any more in Judah. So none of Jeconiah's seed, God said, would sit on the throne. And Jews use these scriptures to discredit the line of Jesus. But we follow this lineage, and Joseph was part of the line. Jeconiah, his name changed to Coniah, J being God's name taken out of Jeconiah's name, J from Yahweh, as God removed his dealings from the man's life. After the exile of Babylon, verse 12, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. Verse 13, Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud, Abihud, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim, the father of Azor. Abihud, 1 Chronicles chapter 8. Verse 14, Azor, the father of Zadok, Zadok, the father of Akim, Akim, the father of Elihud, Elihud, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Mathan, Matan, the father of Jacob, and there no more begots, just the husband of Mary, Joseph, does nothing. But Mary, through the virgin birth, and the language for Mary is feminine singular, which shows Joseph had absolutely nothing to do with the birth of Jesus, yet he is of the royal line of David and marries the woman from the bloodline of David, which is pretty cool stuff, which means that if the Romans were not in exile in Jerusalem, if they were not part controlling Jerusalem, Joseph would have been king of Israel at that time. These genealogies are not perfect, and many despicable people are also omitted, but Matthew giving it the way a Jew would write to keep track of the genealogy. Despicable me. I've shared the good news thousands of times with people, and the number one answer people say about why they don't need a Savior and Lord is, I'm a good person. The Bible would say no to that. And we are despicable people compared to a perfect and holy God. We are not good. Oh, I look around at the people here today, and I do see good people that do good things. But that would be by my standards and not God's. What's God's standards? Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. Psalm 92:15, to declare what the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and abundant in strength, his understanding is infinite. Colossians 2:9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Hebrews 7:26, for it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He is perfect. We are not. So how do we compare ourselves to perfection? You can't. You comparing yourself to confession to perfection is like filthy rags. Our imperfections would screw up heaven. So because we are not perfect and holy, the only other option is to go somewhere else that imperfection can be, and that is hell. It was never designed for us, but because of sin, if we don't have Christ, we are destined to go there. But that is why God came in the flesh. He dwelt among us and became like us. He lived a sinless life. He sacrificed himself so we could go to heaven. Then we simply accept him and make him our Lord, and he makes us perfect. Isaiah 26:7 says, the way of a righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. Matthew 5:48. Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Hebrews 10:14. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You may not see this way, but God looks down at you, and when you're saved, he sees perfection. He sees his Son in you, and you are made perfect and in a process of being made holy. You may look and think, I'm just like that movie, Despicable Me. But there is redemption in Christ, and he can make you perfect in him, and he has a place for you. No matter if you're a deceiver like Jacob, a prostitute like Rahab, a lust-driven man like Samson, a godless leader like Manasseh, a ready, fire, aim guy off the handle man like Peter, or a religious prosecutor like Paul, a drug addict, an atheist, a criminal, a mentally disturbed individual, it does not matter. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. This is our family tree in 2017. It has been filled with people that are from all walks of life, all different backgrounds and races, all different types of normal or crazy or whatever that means, but all with one thing in common: saved despite of their despicable sin. That is the beauty of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves us despite who we are. And Jesus calls us to do the same with others. And I have been learning that a lot lately. That God wants us to be who we are. He loves us for who we are. He wants to change us himself, and he will do that. But if he doesn't do that, it's our job just to love people where they're at, to love people for who they are, and to allow God to change them, or allow God to change us. But just to love people and accept people where they're at. Whether they're someone in a congregation, or they're your local pastor, especially in your marriage, you just want to love and accept your spouse for who they are. Because why did you fall in love with them in the first place? You fell in love with them in the first place because of who they were and who they are. I thank God that he loves me, that he forgives me when I make mistakes, that he cares about me when I screw up, and that he's forgiving towards me when I say something or do something stupid. You know, that there's always that confession, that when we go back to him, there's always that forgiveness. And I am very thankful for that today. I'm very thankful that he saved this despicable guy like me. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for showing us in your genealogy that you love all different types of people and that there's hope for all different types of people, including people that are so far gone from God like Manasseh, women who are caught in adultery, just terrible things that are happening, men who are doing the wrong things, women who are doing the wrong things, some of the despicable things that people do sometimes. Thank you, Lord, that you are a forgiving God, that you are a loving God. I pray that you would not keep us the same, but that as we love you, that we continue to grow in your love. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the social page and visit, and click on the Podomatic symbol or iTunes symbol to listen to this podcast. Thank you very much. Have an awesome day in the Lord, and don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.